Just Mishpatim, we'd like to study the sugya of Tzar Bali Chayim. The Torah says, Kisirech Hamor Sonacha Rovetz Tachas Maso Vechadalta Meazovlo Azov Tazov Imo. And Rashi says, Azov Tazov Imo is the mitzvah of Prika Lefarek Hamasa, he quotes the Mechilta. So it means you have a beast of burden, and the burden is very heavy, and you have to relieve the animal of its burden. That's called prika, and that mitzvah is commanded here in Parashas Mishpatim. We find something similar, perhaps the flip side of the coin, in Parashas Kisetze, Kisires chamor achicha o eshoro noflin badorech is v'salamta mehem hakem tokem imo. And Rashi points out that that mitzvah is the mitzvah of te'ina, to help someone lift a burden onto the animal's back. And that's the flip side. So in Parashas Mishpatim we have the mitzvah of prika, to remove the burden from the animal. And in Parashas Kisetze we have the mitzvah of te'ina, to help put the burden on the back of the animal. Amongst the issues that we'd like to address today is Tzar Bali Chayim Doraisa, or is it not? And for that we'd have to see the sugyim bav mitzia on Daf Lamed Beis in Eilu Mitzios and the Machlokas there, and to check the Rishonim, the Achronim, as to where is the source Doraisa, according to that Mandiyoma, the Tzar Bali Chayim Doraisa, where do we find it in the Torah? Is it right here in the mitzvah of Prika? We would like to study another issue which comes up very often in the poskim, and that is whether there's a difference between Tzar Gadol and Tzar Muat. It's difficult to qualify and quantify the Tzar of the animal that has to be prevented and avoided. Also, is there a difference between actively causing Tzar to an animal, or in a case, a situation where you could prevent the animal from suffering and you fail to do so? Is that also included in the violation of Tzar Bali Chayim? Also, the poskim say that in general there is license for Tzar Bali Chayim, there is a heter, in the case of Tashmishon Shel Bnei Adam, in the normal use of people. People use animals, and animals are beasts of burden. It implies and entails a certain element of tzar. I'm allowed to do that. It's tashmisho shel bnei adam. But how far can you go with that? Can you use animals for experiments, and to what extent? Are you allowed to use animals for your own pleasure? Perhaps we'll have a chance to see the famous tshuva of the Nodav Yehuda about hunting animals. And in what circumstances would be allowed to kill an animal because that animal causes you discomfiture? You're uncomfortable with the animal. You find it repulsive. Also, it's true that on Shabbos you're not allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha for you, but what about Tzar Bali Chayim? Can I sort of circumvent the Iser of Tzar Bali Chayim by having a guy do it on my behalf? What about fish? Are fish included on the Tzar Bali Chayim? Would there be a difference, therefore, with regard to taking care of an aquarium on Shabbos in order to avoid Tzar Bali Chayim of fish if you don't feed them? And what about other dinim that apply to raising animals like dogs and cats and birds and fish and all these cases, just for the sake of pleasure? And taking an animal out of the wild and circumscribing it, incarcerating it in your house against the will and the benefit of the animal. The animal would rather be with its family, but you want to do it for your own pleasure in order to raise the animal. And then the issue about whether or not Tzar Bali Chayim applies to an Adam, to a human being. Perhaps at the end of the day we can have some sort of a view of what Musar can we derive from Tzar Bali Chayim? Let's mention that the individual who perhaps violated Tzar Bali Chayim in the Torah itself is none other than Bilam. And if you take a look in Parshas Balak, you will see that the Malach turns to Bilam and says, Alma hi kisas ason chazesh shalosh regolim. What right do you have to give a smack to your animal, to your donkey, on three different occasions, over and over and over again? And in fact, the Medrash HaGadol here in Parshas Balak, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Tzar Bal Chaim Doraisa Dechsiv Alma hi kisas asoncha. This itself is the source for Tzar Bal Chaim in the Torah. If we take a look in the Rambam, in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam quotes the opinion that Tzar Bal Chaim Doraisa and derives it from the Pasuk here in Balak. Alma hi kisas asoncha. So the Rambam is very well aware of the Medrash HaGadol. Hine, ze al derech avos ashlemus lanu kideish lo nisnaig b'midas achzorius. The Rambam says that the primary focus is not the animal per se, but rather the owner of the animal, the human being surrounding the animal, in their striving for perfection. They have to avoid at all costs and at all extremes the attribute of cruelty, and therefore Tzar Bal Chaim is a way of protecting man from falling prey to this terrible mid of achzorius, v'lo nitzara levatlo lelo toeles, and to be cruel without any purpose, that for sure has to be avoided. Ella, but rather nif'al badinut uberachmanut, we should act with sensitivity and compassion. Vafilu be'ishi eze balchai shiye. It doesn't matter which animal you're talking about. Zulasi, with the only exception, be'esat zorech. Rama mentions here shechita, that when a person has desire to eat meat, kitave nafshecha lechol basar, we have to shech the animal in a derech, which is not achzoris. We can't just joke around about this and cause the animal undue suffering. And it means that according to the Rambam, there are situations that justify causing pain to an animal, not just for the sake of pleasure, not necessarily just to hunt down animals and kill them, but perhaps within the realm of safety, of health, of nourishment. These are different cases that might be permissible if you take this Rambam under advisement. I'd like to share with you a comment of the Sefer Hasidim. He writes, Kol ma'ase garmos shadam gorim tzar l'chavero nenash afim yase tzar l'chinom l'behema. When you cause your friend pain, that for sure you are liable for. And even if you cause pain to an animal al chinam for no justified reason, kigon shemesim aleh masu yosim esha yicholis loses, you put on the animal a burden that weighs way beyond what the animal is capable of doing. What are you thinking over here? Any yichol leches? And the animal really can't move on its own. Umako, so he begins to hit the animal. Is asid litenes adin? He'll be punished for that. Shari tzar balichayim doraisa. From the Sefer Hasidim's perspective, we're talking about cruelty and the suffering of the animal as an end to itself, so to speak, as a violation in and of itself. We're not talking about engendering certain midos in a human being. And then he mentions the case of Bilam, Almahi Kisa Soncha, who keneged Shamarlo Yesh Cherev Biyadi Ki Atar Agticha, which means that at the end of the day, according to the Sefer Hasidim, Bilam dies at the Cherev, at the sword, because he violated Tzar Bal Chaim. Very fascinating. So we see already how different approaches are developing here with regard to Tzar Bal Chaim. The main sugya here is in Elul Metzias on Daf Lamed Beis, and the Mishnah says, Parak V'ta'an afilu arba v'chamisha pamim chayef. If a person is obligated to help out with prika, with te'ina, over and over and over again. Shenemar, because the pasuk says here in Parshas Mishpatim, Azov, Tazov. And this repetition tells me that you have to constantly help this person. You can't say, well, I helped him once, and that's good enough. That's not sufficient. Afilu mea pa'amim. Holach v'yoshev lo v'yomer hol v'yolecha mitzvah im ritzoncha lifrog porek. Supposing the owner of the animal says, look, you want to help me and help the animal by reducing its burden? You go ahead and do so. I'm not getting involved. It's potter. Shenemar imo. If the Baal Bayis himself, the owner of the animal, is not willing to participate in and put his shoulder to the task and relieve the animal of its burden, then no one else is chayev to do so. The mitzvah of prika is first and foremost vis-a-vis the Bailim. The Bailim want to remove themselves from this mitzvah, then no one else is chayev to help them. You know, God helps those who helps them help themselves. If on the other hand, the owner of the animal is older or is weaker, he doesn't have the power to participate in relieving the animal of its burden, then the onlooker is chayev. Mitzvah ben haTorah lifrog avalo liton. According to the Tanakhama, the mitzvah is to remove the burden from the animal. There's no special mitzvah in the Torah of liton to put the burden onto the animal's back. Rabbi Shimon Omer af liton. Rabbi Shimon hails, and this is what we're familiar with, la'alocha, that there's a twofold mitzvah, a mitzvah of prika and a mitzvah of te'ina. The Gemara doesn't want to take the Tanakhama literally, avalo liton, meaning that there's no mitzvah of te'ina at all. Maishna prika, asks the Gemara, d'chsiv azov tazov imo te'ina nami oksiv hakeim tokeim imo. It cannot be that the Tanakhama in this Mishnah is unaware of the mitzvah in Parshas Ki Teitzei of Hakeim Tokeim Imo, which is the mitzvah of Te'ina. Ela mitzvah natora lifrok bechinam velo lit'on bechinam. Prika is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. You cannot demand payment for such a mitzvah. But in the case of Te'ina, where primarily you're helping a person financially because he has to get his wares over to the market, so put it on the animal's back, you have a right to say, well, I want to be paid for my services. I'm not going to do it gratis. Elabischar. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Omer af liton bechinam, even te'ina, like any other mitzvah, has to be done with or without payment, even if you are doing it gratis and there won't be any reimbursement or compensation. Nevertheless, you're obligated to do the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. Amar Rava, Midivrei Shneim, Nilmad Tsar Balichayim De'oraisa. Now this is the key line over here. Midivrei Shneim, Rashi points out, refers to the premise, the principle, which is universally accepted, that prika takes precedence over te'ina. In fact, according to Tanakhama, prika has to be done b'chinam, whereas te'ina you're allowed to insist on being paid for it. But in any event, there doesn't seem to be any machlokas about the fundamental point that prika, is a greater mitzvah than te'ina. The Rabbanan say that if indeed in the case of te'ina you can insist on schar, and if the Baal Bayis refuses to accept that precondition in te'ina and he's adamant and says you have to do this gratis, then according to Rav Shimon you would have to do it gratis like any other mitzvah. Isal kedait k'Rav Shimon, the Chacham say, Rav Shimon is correct. Lichtov Rachmana te'ina, v'lo boi prika. The Torah could have told us te'ina, and if you chayev in te'ina, how much more so you chayev in prika? Uma te'ina, the less beitzar b'alechayev, lekach yisorin kis chayev Prika de Isbei Tzar Balichayim V'chisoin Kislo Kolshkein. The Torah didn't even have to mandate the mitzvah of Prika, which has an additional element of Tzar Balichayim. Elamai Hilchasa Kasvei, Kasvei Rachmana. Why did the Torah add the mitzvah of Prika? What chiddush do I now know that I wouldn't have known if I only had Te'ina and I derived Prika with a Kavachomer? Lomolcha Prika Bechinam Te'ina Beschar. The chiddush here of Prika is that one is required, he's compelled to fulfill the mitzvah of Prika with or without payment. But Te'ina, that's only Beschar. But Rav Shimon, if Rav Shimon equates Prika and Te'ina and says that both are Bishchar, why didn't the Torah just give me the mitzvah of Te'ina? And I would certainly derive the mitzvah of Prika, which has an additional element of Tzar Bal Chaim. My time of Mishum, the Lo Masai Me Kroy. Okay, Lo Masai Me Kroy, that's a technical rule that governs what the Torah has to say and what it doesn't have to say. If the Torah would have said X, maybe we would have limited it to the smaller case, the lesser chiddush. In any event, everyone here is on board with the following assumption. Prika is in a category of its own because Prika entails Tzar Bali Chaim, and therefore everybody agrees to the principle that Tzar Bali Chaim is Do'orais. The Afilu Rabbi Shimon lo komer el mishum d'lo mesai mikroy. Of mesai mikroy, darshin and kal v'chomer. Rabbi Shimon himself fundamentally is on board. He accepts the kal v'chomer. The logic of the kal v'chomer is that Prika is that much greater than Te'ina. The Torah really didn't have to spell out Prika. Why? Because Prika has the additional element of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Gemara really debates this and, you know, back and forth, and there are different opinions here in the Gemara. The Gemara has one opinion that maybe Prika is more important than Te'ina because Prika includes an element of Chisar and Kis. The animal might just die from the weight on its back, and that would be a tremendous financial loss to the owner of the animal. And the Gemara goes on to say, I do have a proof, however, that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa from Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Im Hoya Olav Yeser Al Maso Ein Zokaklo Shenemar Tachas Maso Masai Shiyochel Lamud Bo. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili was Machadesh that if the Bailim put on the back of the animal a weight which the animal could clearly not tolerate, that exempts me from the mitzvah of Prika. Michlal the Tanakama Sover Zakaklo. The Tanakama says that despite the fact that the Bailim really did something that's totally unacceptable, let him, the Bailim, suffer with the consequences of such a crazy thing. He really overstepped his bounds. Why then am I chayav according to Tanakama in the mitzvah of Prika? It's his issue. And the Gemara wants to suggest that the answer to this is because of Baal Tzar Bali Chaim, Do Raisa. That although the Bailim really are responsible, you know, they were cruel and they were self-destructive by putting such a burden on the animal's back, that doesn't alleviate me, the onlooker, from my responsibility to alleviate the animal of its suffering. Maybe in terms of my obligation vis-a-vis the Bailim, I should be alleviated because he had no right to, it was idiosyncratic on his part to put such a burden on the animal's back, but as far as the animal, the metzius is the animal's suffering. So the Gemara answers, Dilma, maybe that's not a proof either, because B'tachas Maso Pligi, Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Darshinon, Tachas Masoi, Masoi, Shiyochel Lamod Bo. For Rabbanan Savri, Lo Darshinon Tachas Maso. And at this point, the Gemara sort of backtracks and presents the thesis that Tzar Bali Chaim Lav Doraisa. The Gemara comes back and says Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, and this is the entire sugya as it develops. I don't know if we'll have time to go through every part and parcel of the Shakla V'Tarya, but what is the final maskoni? Yatoshma Behemas Ovei Kochavim Umasa Yisrael is v'chadalta. If the animal is owned by a guy, even though the burden is owned by Israel, you don't have to get involved. and you're exempt from the mitzvah. I mean, you should really come under the mitzvah of also tazo because of tzar balechayim. We all have tzar balechayim doraisa hasam b'teina. But rather, we're talking about a case of teina. In the case of teina, I don't have to help the oved kochavim. What about the flip case where the behemoth is owned by Yisrael, the Masi is owned by Ovei Kochavim? Is Azov Tazov you're obligated? And why is that the case? Why am I compelled to get involved here in Azov Tazov unless we're talking about Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa? So despite the fact that the Masoi belongs to the Akum, and if I'm not helping the Yisrael in any way financially, but nevertheless, I have to worry about the Tzar of the animal. So the Gemara says, perhaps it's Mishum Tzara di Yisrael. Meaning, the Yisrael is going to have to wait around to see what happens. He has to sort of protect his animal, does he not? And the Gemara goes back and forth on this point. And the final maskana for you, fast forward to Daf Lamed Gimel, is that the Gemara really has no conclusive proof that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Yamar Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, Mali Rovetz, Mali Ravtzon, Mali Omed, Chomani Rabbi Yosef Haglili, Diomar Tzar Bali Chaim Dorabonon. And certainly Rabbi Yosef HaGlili rejects the principle of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. And therefore the Gemara here in Bava Metzia doesn't seem to come to any definite conclusion. But if you take a look in the poskim here, in the poskim Rishonim in Bava Metzia, for example, the Rosh and the Nebuki Yosef, what we find is that Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, meaning the Rosh goes back to the original statement of Rava, that Rava says that both the Tanakama and Rav Shimon are operating within the framework of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. They accept that principle, and that was the Kal Vachomer, which both accepted that if we had only Te'ina, we would certainly derive Prika, because Prika has the additional element of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Afal Gav the Dachi Gemara, even though the Gemara rejects this proof, and Rava doesn't really have conclusive evidence, nevertheless, Kaimel on Hachi, this is where we pass in Hachi Hilchasa, that Tzar Bali Chaim is Dorais. So the Rosh admits that from the perspective of the Sugyim Bav Metzia, the Gemara goes back and forth and vacillates, doesn't come to any definite conclusion. From whence does the Rosh derive the conclusion, therefore, Allah, that we pass in Tzar Bali Chaim Dorais? Says the Rosh, we have to point our finger in a different direction. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'shili perek mefanin. He refers us to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda at the end of Masechta Shabbos. And that's the famous case which we've discussed in the past in terms of Muktzeh and Nolad of a behemah shenafal emesmayim, and a behem is usually called mukta. How do we get it out of the emes mayim and save the animal's life? Maybe karim uksusos meniach tachteh b'shabbes. Aye, this bitul kli meichano. And the answer is, says the Gemara, bitul kli meichano is only derabanan, where tzar bali chayim is dorai. So we're allowed to take karim uksusos and put them underneath the animal in order to heave the animal up from the bottom of the bar and save its life. And that we're allowed to do because Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, even though we're violating an Iser of Muktzeh, which is called Bittul Kli Meichano, because the Karim and the Ksusas, once placed underneath the animal's body, become a Basus L'Davras them Muktzeh. And the Gemara establishes that Osi Doraisa V'Dachi Drabanan, meaning Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, whereas Bittul Kli Meichano is only Drabanan, the Doraisa trumps the Drabanan. And that's the basis for the Rosh's finally established final halacha that we paskin Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. Mikan hitir Rabbi Meir Zal k'sheyesh rov
cholov lebehema tzayres v'kach muta lomel enochri b'shabes lachlov lebehema v'yitol acholov liatz mitzar balichayim dochi amira lenochri. There's a very, very famous rush. And based on this rush, the kibbutzim, the religious kibbutzim today, to this very day, will set up a mechanics that through automation they can milk the cows on Shabbos, because the rush is willing to be mata miliakum, to tell the guy to milk the cows on Shabbos in order to alleviate the cow of its tsar, because tsar balichayim do rice. If you look in the Agos Hagra here on the rush, he writes, that Tzar Bal Chaim is only Dirabonon. So Mirza Shem will want to try to see the Rambam inside. The Rif, here in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Mufanim, writes, Behema shenofel emesmayim b'Shabbos, maybe karmu ksusos, u'meniach tachteo v'im also v'yafagav d'kom v'atam plime echono, is bitter plea chano the rabbanon tzar balichaim do rice also the rice of edochi the rabbanon. So the Rif and the Rosh are saying one and the same thing, that it's the sugyan Shabbos that clearly maintains the final conclusion that tzar balichaim is do rice. And the Muki Yosef in Bog Metzian Eilu Metzias mentions the Gaonim and Rav Alphys, all of whom accept the sheet of Rava that tzar balichaim do rice, and then he proves it once again, as we saw in the Rush and the Rif from the Sugya in Perek Mefanim about Behemish and Aflay Mismayim. He says, but Mihu, and this is a very important addition, and if you maybe we could call it a not just an addition, but a limitation rule, a qualification. Dafka b'tsar gadol. When is tsar balichaim d'oraisa tsar gadol? For example, the animal that's all the way in the bottom of the bar. It's in a life-threatening situation. Aval tsar muot, but a limited kind of suffering on the animal's part, that's not do raisa. And how does he know such a thing, the Nebuki Yosef? From the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara there is talking about the Isra lav of Oso, the Espinosh, and in this case, both the animal's parent and the animal's young fell into a bar. And the Gemara establishes that you're only allowed to be matil aloso if there's no other option. But if there's another option to save the animal, which is called yasalo parnosa bimkomo, you can somehow feed the animal even while the animal's down. In such a case, the tzar of the animal is somewhat limited. Obviously, the animal is waiting to get out, to be freed, and that's going to happen after Shabbos. But during the course of a Shabbos, at least there'll be food for the animal to eat. Then you're not allowed to violate the Iser of Bittul Kli Meichano, etc. on Shabbos, even for the sake of Tzar Balichayim, because the tzar here is a tzar katan, not a tzar gadol. And why is it a tzar muat and not a tzar gadol? Because the animal is being sustained. Food is being given to the animal. Once again, if the animal is dying of starvation, then tzar balichaim doraisa, and that overrides the iser bittul kli meichano. But if the animal is being fed, that's what he calls a tzar muat, and we don't apply the principle of tzar balichaim doraisa. This opinion of Muki Yosef is going to reverberate throughout the poskim in many different scenarios that arise with regard to Tzar Balichayim. Then the Muki Yosef asks the following question. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia that Zaken, the Enel Fichvodo, is exempt from the mitzvah of Prika. And now that we've established that Tzar Balichayim is Doraisa, why would the Zaken be exempt from a mitzvah d'oraisa? And he quotes the Ramban, who offers the following answer, that you're allowed to violate Tzar Balichayim for the sake of Tashmishot Shel Bnei Adam. And this is a principle which the Ramban establishes in the context of Tzar Balichayim that has repercussions. And he says, Kol Shekein L'Chvodom, you know, if you're allowed for some need or for some use to
inflict pain in the animal, how much more so are you allowed to do it for the sake of kavod, and only that b'shev the altaseh? We're not asking the zaken to protect his kavod to actively impose pain and anguish on the animal. We're only saying that he can exempt himself from removing and protecting the animal from tsar because we want to protect his kavod abrios. So let's summarize the new principles that we derive from this in Muki Yosef. Number one, that tsar muat is not d'oraisa. Number two, there's a difference, says the Ramban, between kumvaseh, in actively causing pain to the animal, and shevi al taseh, in alleviating a person from his responsibility of prika, to prevent the animal and alleviate the animal's pain, but you didn't actively cause the animal's pain. And number three, for the sake of Tashmish Shel Bnei Adam, there is license for Tzar Bali Chaim, and how much more so for the sake of Kavod Bnei Adam. Now, there's a sugya here in Avodah Zarah. We'll see if we get a chance to look at it. I wanted to first mention the Mardechai in Bav Metziah. The Mardechai quotes Rava that he did Reishneim Nilmat Tzar Bali Chaim Do Raisa, and it would seem that this is Halach Lamaisa. The Mardechai is a little bit bothered by Rava's statement that Kol B'Shalo Eino Porek is B'Shal Chavero Eino Porek. And he reinterprets that statement of Rav in the following way. What Rav means to say, Kol she b'shalo eino poreg, means, let's say he would find workers and he could hire them and pay them to be poreg, is in such a case, since eino poreg be atzmo, he would not get down on all fours and put in the energy and extend himself to be poreg the animal. He would rather pay for that. Is b'shal chaveru nami eino porek. Hecha shemotzi chaveru liskalo pol. It means that if his friend is in need of prika, but his friend could actually find polim, he doesn't have to get down on all fours. He wouldn't do it for his own animal. He's not chayv to do it for someone else's animal. Again, all this is in the case where there are polim available. So, in that case, I'm not going to be responsible for non-involvement in prika because I'm sending someone else to be involved in prika. I'm hiring someone on my behalf. Avol, here the Mordechai spells it out. Hecha di eino motzi liskar polim. If he cannot find polim or willing for money to do the job, just maybe they're not around, is therefore kevin d'b'shalo poreg. In such a case, he would certainly get down on all fours to be poreg from his own animal. And not only that, he would be obligated to do so under the law of Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa. Then the same applies vis-a-vis his friend's animal. He's got to, there's no other way out here, there's no polim, he's got to do it himself. Is therefore, in general, we see that Tzar Bali Chaim is d'Oraisa. And that's the summary of the Mardechai. This is going to take us one step further to the case of milking a cow on Shabbos when the cow is suffering. And in order to alleviate its suffering, we're allowed to tell a guy to do the chaliv on Shabbos. And the reason for that is Tzar Bali Chaim d'Oraisa. So many of the principles that we saw earlier are codified here by the Mardechai. The only problem is, there seems to be an indication from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that if you have a suffix, that Tzar Bali Chaim is treated as a Drabbanon, and despite the fact that there's a machlokas in the sugya, nevertheless, why would the halacha be l'chumra in this case? And that's called Eich Pasak HaMardechai Pam Kach U Pam Kach. The Mardechai, based on the sugya,
in Avodah Zarah seems to be assuming that Tzar Balei Chaim loved Doraisa, and here the Mordechai Bar Metzia clearly maintains that Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa. V'yesh lomar lefumriyata v'yesh trei mini Tzar Balei Chaim. There's a Tzar Godel, which is the Rais, and Tzar Katan is the Rabbanon. And that we saw already in the Nebuki Yosef, we superimpose that on the Mordechai, it would justify the fact that the Mordechai sometimes would tell you that Tzar Balei Chaim is the Rais, and sometimes Tzar Balei Chaim is the Rabbanon. So for example, the Mordechai here in Bav Metzia clearly is outspoken that Tzar Balei Chaim is the Rais, whereas in Avodah Zarah, and this is the sugya Daf Yam and Gimel on the base, we didn't go through the sugya, but Tzar Balei Chaim says the Mordechai is the Rabbanon. The Asi the Rabbanon the Amei Mekachim Mishud Chashul Takola V'Dochi Tzar Balei Chaim the Rabbanon. Clearly, Tzar Balei Chaim is the Rabbanon, and the way that the Chidushei Anshei Shem and others reconcile the apparent contradiction of the Mordechai is that we're talking about two different levels of Tzar Balei Chaim. If it's a very profound, severe Tzar Balei Chaim, that's called Gadol, that's Doraisa. If it's a Tzar Katan, that's only Derabbanan. And the case in Avodah Zarah is a Tzar Balei Chaim Derabbanan because it's a case of Tzar Katan. Now, the Chidushei Anshei Shem, although he presents this thesis, he's not happy with it. To say that the Mordechai of Avodah Zarah is talking about Tzar Katan is a little bit difficult, because the case is, if a person, Bizman Azeh, when he was Magdish or Machrim something, so the Mishnah paskins Te'oker. And what does Ikur mean? And the Mishnah says, Noel Delis Bifanev Imesa Me'leho. We lock the animal in such a way that it's going to die, a slow, painful death. We're going to starve the animal to death because we want to avoid any violation of an isur of Hegdesh or Cherem or Erechin and so forth. But that's clearly a case of Tzar Balei Chaim Gadol Doraisa. Why would the Mordechai insists that because of the level of Tzar, it's a reduced level, therefore it's only Tzar Balei Chaim Derabbanan? What's insignificant about starving an animal to death? And that question seems to bother the mind of the Chidushei Anshei Shem, but I don't see that he offers an answer. The Rav Shik in his Tshuvas mentions the Mordechai. The Mordechai of Avodah Zarah, that Tzar Balei Chaim is the Rabbanon. And in his Sheila, in his Tshuva, that he's addressing the issue of being lenient in Tzar Balei Chaim for a case of Hefsed, he wonders whether Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa or not. Then he quotes the Mordechai that Tzar Balei Chaim is Derabbanan. It's fascinating that in his answer to the Shaila about allowing Tzar Balei Chaim for Hefsed in order to avoid Hefsed, he says that there's an overriding principle that if it's litzorech, if there's a need, we're not just doing it out of cruelty, but we're causing the animal suffering because of a certain need that we have to, an objective that we have to achieve, he says, then it's not Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa. And therefore, if you take a look in the Mordechai, in Avodah Zarah, where he classifies Tzar Balei Chaim as Rabbanon, he's talking about a case of a chashash takola, you know, somebody went ahead and he was magdish an animal, he was machrim an animal, or perhaps as a knas to make sure that he won't do it again, they take his animal and lock it up. That's litzorech. And therefore, technically, it's mutter. And therefore, he universalizes this as a rule that if there's a toeles, then we're going to put aside the Isur of Tzar Balei Chaim. And if we accept this interpretation of the Rav Shik of the Mordechai, then really the Chidushei Anshei Shem's question falls apart. The Mordechai was obviously dealing with Tzar Balei Chaim Derabbanan, because once there's a Tzorech, that's going to remove Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa. As opposed to the case of Prika, where on the contrary, the need is to be Porek, and therefore we're dealing with Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa to alleviate the animal of its suffering. Now, if you take a look at the mitzvah of Prika, krika in the Sefer Chinuch, which is mitzvah pei, here in Parshas Mishpatim. He reflects a lot of what we saw early in the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim. He says, Mishar she ha-mitzvah l'lamei nafshenu v'midas ha-chemla she-midah mishubachas. We want to avoid any kind of achzorius. We want to inculcate within us that lofty and very praiseworthy attribute of chemla. And then he has a long discussion about the sugyan b'metzia, if the animal is owned by the guy, but the burden itself is owned by the Israel, or just the opposite. Also an issue which he addresses here that we haven't gotten to yet, about two choices. One is prika, and one is te'ina. One is the case of oevo, the other case is sono. All these different nuances. I wanted to call to your attention some of the comments here of the Minchas Chinuch. Number one, he says, Reisi b'kesef Mishnah, that the Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rif Paskins, and we saw it also in the Rambam, of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, he, the Minchas Chinuch, doesn't see a clear-cut psak in the Rif. The Baal Amor himself is outspoken that halacha kirova de Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, and therefore we don't know what the Rif is holding. Then he says, Baal Amor asks a number of questions attacking the Rif based on Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. The Minchas Chinuch wants to offer the suggestion that those questions are not imposing, because in fact the Rif holds Tzar Bali Chaim Lav Doraisa. And he mentions the Pnei Yoshua, who goes into a whole pilpul with regard to the mitzvah of Prika, whether we're dealing with, according to the Rambam, the Rif, Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, or perhaps Tzar Bali Chaim Lav Doraisa. In any event, he writes that the Rif in Shabbos is explicit, and we've seen this already, that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. And that's why it trumps the Iser of being Mevatel Kli Mehechano. Mefurash Berif, the Sfir Lay the Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. And that's the way the Kesef Mishnah understood the Rif. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chof Hei also establishes that as a result of Tzar Bali Chaim, we can alleviate the Iser Gzera of Mavato Kli Mechano. Even though the Rambam doesn't explicitly mention that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, the logic seems to be such. So therefore, if we assume that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa according to the Rambam, the Rif, and certainly the Baal Amor, and that would make sense within the context of the Sefer Chinuch, then he says, Lamandi Omar, Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa is therefore Tzorech Lahatzil Bali Chaim Hafilu B'Tzar Di Osi Memela. The Minchas Chinuch claims that Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa means more than just you're not allowed to impose anguish upon the animal. It means more than that. You have to do whatever you have to do to actively prevent the animal from suffering, even if that situation of suffering was not brought about by you. And therefore, the mitzvah of Tzar Bali Chaim should apply even to a behemoth's guy. But on the other hand, if Tzar Bali Chaim were only Durabbanon, Durabbanon only instituted this gzera if you actively cause a tzar to a Bal Chai. But if you just, you know, vacillating back and forth as to whether you have to actively save the animal from a pre-existing tzar situation, the Rabbanon didn't go that far to obligate you. Also, did the Rabbanon go as far as to obligate you in the case of Behemas Gai? Could be yes, could be no. But it's only because Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa that we have to insist that you do your maximum to relieve the animal of its pain, and it should apply to an animal of a guy as it does to an animal of a Jew. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that Tzar Bali Chaim loved the Oraisa. And therefore,
Yeser mimaso eino zakuk. If the bialim of the animal deliberately calculated, you know, in a calculated way, he put a burden on the animal's back, which is the weight of which exceeds beyond what the animal can tolerate, then you, the onlooker, are exempt from the mitzvah of tzar balei chayim. And then you have the case of Ravtan and Omed. All this is because tzar balei chayim is not doraisa. But maybe you'll ask the question, okay, but maybe tzar balei chayim at least is derabbanon. And therefore it would seem that if tzar balei chayim is derabbanon, says the Minchas Chinuch, that's only if you do it b'yadayim. That's only if you actively cause pain. But in the case of Prika, where you're sitting or standing on the sidelines, and the question is whether you actively have to get involved, when the Bailam himself brought this upon themselves by deliberately placing a too heavy of a weight on the animal's back, the Rabbanan didn't obligate you in Tzar Balei Chaim de Rabbanan. However, according to Mani Omer, Tzar Balei Chaim de Raisa, that's an absolute obligation to see to it that the animal doesn't suffer. And as we've seen, the poskim accept that opinion. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes that even if I hold Tzar Balei Chaim is doraisa, it's not mefurish b'Torah. Nowhere is it explicit that this Tzar Balei Chaim. And Prika is b'chinam. Okay? That might be Halach L'Moshe Misinai, but it's not Lehedja in the Torah. And my nafkamina, he says, if a person would take a shvua that he's not going to save the animal that's sick and alleviate its pain, would that shvua be what we call nishbayin mushba biyomi bar Sinai? The answer is that a shvua is invalid if it contradicts that which is mefurish, is explicit in the Torah. But here, Tzar Balei Chaim is not explicit in the Torah, and therefore the shvua would in fact be valid. We want to take a quick look in the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Ayin Beis, Hilchas Priko Te'ina. He writes, Behemas Goy, Vamasa Shal Yisrael, Imhoya Goy, Mechamer Acher Behemto, Eino Zokaklov, Imlav Chayv Lifrok, Velito Mishum, Tsar Yisrael. So the emphasis here is not on the animal, but on the Yisrael, to help the Yisrael, because it's his masa. Then he writes, "V'cheinim hoisa be'ema shel Yisrael v'masa shel goy chayv lifrok l'inim b'chum tzar Yisrael. Avol be'emas goy u'maso eino chayv litapel bo ela mishum eva." So it seems that Meikar Adin, the Shulchan Aruch exempts you from prika if both the animal and the burden belong to the goy. And the obvious question is, what about Tzar Balei Chaim d'oraisa? The Sma raises this question. He says, Lo Iri Kan Ella Mita'ina, that you must interpret that the Mechaber is talking only exclusively about Te'ina. And in Te'ina, we don't have any mitzvah vis-a-vis the animal. Adarab, the animals can be less comfortable with bite through Te'ina. But he says that's only in terms of the relationship to the Bailim. Am I helping him by getting the burden on the animal's back? And there we have different nuances. Who owns the burden? Who owns the animal? But he says, Lifrok mi behema is Gama Ramam Svirle de Chayva Le Midarais Mishum Tzar Balei Chayim. And therefore, if Tzar Balei Chayim is Doraisa, then even if the animal is owned by a guy, nevertheless there's still Tsar Balei Chaim. And that's his point. If you look, on the other hand, in Hilchos Shabbos, Behema Shenofel Amismayim, Simon Shinhei, Im Amayim Amukim, Ibn Kach Eni Yochel Afarnasa Bimkoma, Maybe karim uksusus v'nosi tachel mishum tzar balei chayim. So here the Shulchan Aruch explicitly mentions tzar balei chayim. He doesn't call it doraisa, but if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says the osi tzar balei chayim doraisa v'dachi iser bittel kli me'achanushu derabbanan. Clearly, assuming that according to the Mechaber, tzar balei chayim is doraisa.
Then he writes, "Menosin l'sachtea aval osel alosa biyadayin dechol balichaim emuktzim v'yafal gav deikat tsar balichaim osur deilon l'damos gzeros chachomim zeluzeh." He wants to suggest that muktzah is already ke'en do raisa, and therefore, even for the sake of balichaim do tsar balichaim do raisa, we cannot trump these are muktzah. Mavato kli bechano is only a shvus; it's not inherently a chefta shel muktzah with these are muktzah. And in Siman Shin Hei, the Mechaber continues by saying you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to milk a cow on Shabbos because of Tzar Balichayim. And once again, we're looking at Tzar Balichayim Doraisa trumping the Iser of Amiral and Nachri Shvus. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah does quote the Elio Rabbah in the previous case that we discussed, to be mekel, to be male, even the animal directly be a dayim, if you cannot do it through kairam ksusos, or you can't find a guy to help you with it, because even the iser mukts itself is set aside, is pushed aside for the sake of tzar bali chayim. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes, mutar mishum tzar bali chayim lomer leovid kochavim lehemros havazos shehurglu kfar behamra veinim yicholim loshuv lechol biatzman. So if you have these ducks and they separate a little bit from their food source, you can ask the guy to bring the animal in so that the animal could eat. We'll allow that once during the course of the day, but not over and over again. Because once the animal has satiated itself once, it's no longer a serious kind of tzar balechayim. Calls my shame yecholim lechol biatzum mutar mishum tzar balechayim. If the animal can't eat, that's called tzar balechayim, and therefore it overrides the isur of amiral and nachri shvus. In Hilchos Piri Verivya, the Mechaber writes, in Ebenezer kol dover atzorch lerfua o l'shar dvarim lespe mishum isur balechayim. Anytime the animal could be used within the context of administering medical help to alleviate the suffering or the sickness of a human being, there's no isur tzar balechayim. And this is an idea that we saw over and over again in the Rishonim and now in the Poskim. B'lachayim muta limrot notzos me'avazos chayos. You're allowed to actually pull out feathers from a live duck, if this is necessary, because you need the feathers as part of medicine. When we the meaning is to avoid such thing, though technically it's okay to have achzorius, because to pull out these feathers from a live duck is really cruelty. The animal suffers tremendously. And the Bir Agra expands on this and certainly allows, according to the technical law, tzar bali chayim for the sake of benefiting man. He has a sugyan chagiga, sugyan Shabbos about sirus for benefit, and he writes at the end of the day that mikol makom, as the Ramah pointed, we're not going to do this, we don't recommend this, we're going to avoid it at all costs. And he quotes the Gemara about Metzia, the story, the Agadot about Rebbe, that Rebbe was in a sense cold and callous to the Egel that was being brought to the Shechita, and Rebbe was punished as a result. So we really want to avoid cruelty to animals at all costs. The Gemara that the Gaon alluded to before is in Chagiga, Perakim Dorshin, on Daf Yudalanum and Beis. And the Gemara says, Shalu es ben zoma ma'alus ruse kalba. You know, you want, you know, there are too many puppies around. You want to do sirus on the kelev. And it seems like ben zoma was not too excited about this. The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, rotzol esareis tarnagoles. This is the way he could do it, but it's got to be indirect. So to do it directly, sirus, that's a violation of tzar bali chayim, and it might even be a more severe violation that we'd have to go through the sugya in depth. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis likewise seems to reflect the shita that Tsar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, but the Gemara tries to defend the Maniomer that says Tsar Bali Chaim is Dirabbana. If we would have a chance, we would love to go through the sugya in Bab Metzia with regard to Rebbe and the whole story about the Egel, and perhaps go through the Truma Sadeshin and his tshuva, the famous tshuva that Odeb Yehuda about hunting. But this will have to leave Bli Neder for another occasion. I just want to make this last comment that the tshuva that Odeb Yehuda indicates this, in a sense, tension between the strict din and when Tsar Bali Chaim is mutter, and the sensitivity that we have to have and the kind of lifestyle and our attitudes, as we saw over and over again in the poskim about developing the proper midos, that sensitive balance that we find in the Rabbi Yehuda is typical of poskim on all the contemporary issues regarding Tsar Bali Chaim. Okay, we'll stop here.